Well, God, it's at the end of 1 year and the beginning of the next that it is great to proclaim you as the Messiah. You are the Messiah of 2021. You're the Messiah of 2022. You have always been and you will always be God. And we are thankful for that because times change, situations change, circumstances change, but you don't. You love us the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And what a comfort that is, as times seem unpredictable and sometimes scary, that we have you as our hope and our Savior. Pray these things in your name, amen. Well, you may be seated. Today is a great day because it's the first Sunday of a new year. It's also a Sunday where we're going to take communion together. And communion is important because not just as a tradition, not just as a sacrament of the church, but because of what it means and causes us to remember, and it's a great thing to have stuck in our memory at the beginning of a year, that Jesus came, that he died, that he rose again on the third day in a bodily form, and we're going to celebrate that today. And so at New Life, what we do is we invite you to come forward, we serve you, and then we ask that you hold on to your portion to the end, and we'll take together of communion. So we want to welcome you up, and let's partake of communion together. Well, this is a great way to start the year, I think. And their last supper together, Jesus broke the bread, and he passed it around to each of his disciples, and he said, "Take this, remember my body, which is given for you." And after doing that, he took the cup. And he said, "Drink of this, my blood, which is shed for you." Well, Father, we want to thank you for this great remembrance of the most selfless, loving act in history. And God, we ask that as we look into 2022, that this would be a fixture of our year. That is the remembrance of what you've done for us, and the example that you set for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. May we be submitted to you. May we be a God-aligned people, seeking to honor you with what we do and say, and looking for your pleasure above all else. I pray these things in your name, amen. Well, all right, if we have kids, the kids are turned loose to go with Miss Daleen. There's somebody here. There is somebody here for your kids. Brand is back there with your kids. Sorry. Wanted to mention before we got started today just a couple of things. First is after our service today, we are going to vote on some amendments to our Constitution and our 2022 budget. We were going to do it last week, but, you know, the weather got a little rough and we wussed out. So, just kidding. So we're going to do that really close to after our service today. We don't want to keep folks long, and so maybe just, you know, 2 to 5 minutes after our service, use the restroom, grab a cup of coffee, and then we'll meet back here. It should be a short one, unless you have lots of questions, in which case you can stay here as long as you want. One other thing, we had sent emails out and we talked about a men's Bible study getting started into the new year. Here's what we've come up with so far. Eric is going to be our Tuesday morning guy. If you are a guy, or I'm sorry, evening, sorry, Eric. Boy, we're off to a great start. Eric is the Tuesday evening guy. If you are a guy whose schedule doesn't work in the mornings, you like to do evenings, go talk to Eric. He's right there, big guy in the back waving his hand. He's your guy. Also, I'm going to be the morning guy. For those of you who can get out of bed or whose work schedule doesn't permit an evening or family schedule doesn't permit an evening, we'll be getting together on probably Friday mornings, but we'll be in touch about that. If you need instruction on that or information about that, please let me know. Also, we're going to be doing a book that is a devotional. Why? That's weird. Well, the thought was, guys, coming into this year, that we would start some good habits, and a daily devotional scripture reading time is a great habit to get into. And then we will discuss those devotionals when we gather, and maybe some other things that are occurring. So that's the thought. Hope you guys can make it. If you need information, talk to Eric or I. Yeah? Every other week. Yes. So it won't be an every week thing. Yeah. Cool. Well, now that we've got all that out of the way. How many of you guys made resolutions already this year? It's resolution time. If you haven't, you better get on it. You know, you're a couple days down already on your resolution, getting those accomplished. Well, this is the time of the year that our country in particular begins thinking about resolutions. I got an email inbox full of workout stuff and exercise programs and diet things, as if they think I might need those, need a little help with my resolutions. Well, why do we do that? Well, the early part of the year kind of provides a clean slate, right? It's a good time to reevaluate things and look forward to maybe some stuff we think we should get done in the next year. It's a great time to make a commitment to think about goals we'd like to accomplish and maybe even do certain things within the space of 2022. We've got a deadline there. But in some cases, we may realize that our goals are just too big for 2022. We're going to need a bit more time to get them done, because I'm not sure I can get my dream vacation done in 2022. I'm not sure I can complete this project that I've been working on in the space of 2022. That might run into 2023 or beyond. In this case, our goals and maybe some of the things that we would like to accomplish become what we may call bucket list items. And we extend the deadline out a bit. These are things that are so rare, so expensive, so far away, so time-consuming, or so hard to accomplish that we have to adjust our expectations on when we're going to get them done, okay? So the time frame stretches, in some cases, to all the time on earth we may have. This is where the term bucket list comes from. We just want to get these things done before we kick the bucket, right? They're lifetime kind of goals. But while the term bucket list may be new, the concept certainly is not. It's a hallmark of humanity to desire to have experience and accomplishments in life that make it a fulfilling experience. Yet, if we were to survey people about what maybe some of their bucket list items are, they would frequently reflect their hopes, or if it's us, our hopes and desires. If I were to ask you, what do you want to do? You might be thinking, well, you know, I would like to go to Europe. I would like to build my own house. I would like to do some of these things. But what if our bucket list was God-informed and God-aligned? The desire to experience the fulfillment of hope in life was no different for a rarely discussed biblical figure. His name was Simeon. And I think we'll look at Simeon this morning, and I think we'll get from Simeon some ideas about what kind of people we ought to be that would inform perhaps some of our expectations, some of our hopes and dreams for 2022. If you have a Bible, we're going to look at Luke 2:52 through 32. It'll also be on the screen. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. There's the bucket list item right there. He had a great bucket list item. Verses continue. And he came into the Spirit, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. And there's its fulfillment, right there. The bucket list item, Simeon's bucket list item. Now, it has to be said that there are some notable differences between what we would call a bucket list item and the fulfillment of Simeon's hopes here. Simeon's item was not one that permitted him to decide on its timing or how it happened. He had to listen to God. He had to be led by the Spirit to that. Further, we have to recognize that it's not likely that the Holy Spirit would reveal directly to us a bucket list item. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit coming to you and saying, all right, here's the deal. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to go to this place at this time, and your hope will be fulfilled. That'd be pretty cool. I don't know that we can expect that to happen for us the way it did for Simeon, though. But we do want to gather from our examination of Simeon that a God-aligned hope leads to an undeniable fulfillment. Or we could also say that a God-aligned hope leads to a God-empowered fulfillment. On Simeon's bucket list is seeing the salvation of his people, God's people, by having revealed to him the Messiah, the Lord's Christ. Christ is a title meaning the fulfiller of Israelite expectation of a deliverer, the anointed one, the Messiah. That's pretty cool. The Jewish people have been waiting for him for a couple of thousand years. And so to have that on your list would be a big deal. And then to actually see it fulfilled would be amazing. One time in history kind of experience. Well, as we transition from the Christmas season to the anticipation of a new year and all it may hold, I want to look at some characteristics of Simeon which will serve us well as we look at 2022. In examining his character, there are three things that were true of him that I think should be true of us, and if they are true of us, we are going to have a different year in 2022 than we did in 2021. First, we have to note that this passage is descriptive, not prescriptive. And what that means is it's giving us a story. It's telling about history. It's not saying that you should do these things. It's not an if-then. If you do these things, then you will get all your wildest dreams fulfilled. Okay, that's not what it's there to do. We also have to note that the characteristics of Simeon are not a checklist to getting what we want personally. Not a guarantee that we get to do what we want, or that our expectations in life will all be met. But they do speak to the kind of person, first of all, that will be aligned with God in terms of what we hope for, and second, will likely see it accomplished in some way, shape, or form. And I want to suggest to you that if you are this kind of person, not only will your hopes align with the will of God, you will experience a level of fulfillment that our culture simply can't provide. First thing is, if you're following in your notes, is a person of godly character. Simeon was a person of godly character. Luke wrote of him, "This man was righteous and devout." Righteous pertains to being in accordance with the high standard of rectitude. It's an upright person. This is a person that is just and they're fair. Simeon wasn't the kind of guy who would cut corners or be dishonest in his dealings with others. He would be concerned that his thoughts, words, and actions be in alignment with God's standards. This flows from being a devout person. And a devout person is a God-fearer, one who maintains a right relationship to God. A person who fears God has no room for fear of man. Therefore, his motivations and his perspectives would be informed by a desire to please God, not a desire to please himself or even perhaps others around him. And we can see how both of these characteristics, both being righteous and devout, profoundly affect one's outlook on life. If I don't care that my thoughts, words, and actions align with God's character, I won't evaluate things properly. I won't desire what he desires. You see, who we are matters even more than what we do. Our culture says that personal life doesn't matter. Character is secondary. It's even consequential. We live in a performance-based culture. If you could do the job, I don't care what you do in your free time. Whatever. Leave it at home. But when you come to work, this is what we expect. But the problem is, I guess we're learning this as a culture, is that we can't separate our character from how we think, speak, or act. For Simeon, there could be no disconnect. He couldn't compartmentalize different parts of his life. What he was blessed to experience came as a result of his character. Sometimes we may be frustrated at the lack of fulfillment in our lives. We have expectations. We think they're good expectations. We think they're right expectations. But as we look at the world around us, we realize, I don't think this is going to come true for me. It's not looking good, at least, and we are frustrated and disappointed. At this point, we have to raise the question, who is informing our criteria? Who's informing our expectations in life? How are we determining whether or not things are going well or not going well? It is often at this point I'm suspicious that we've been more informed by the culture and our desires than a God-informed spiritual perspective which seeks to see God's will done. Now, I'm saying we should be okay with everything going on around us. That's not what I'm suggesting, nor am I suggesting that God is pleased by everything that's going on in our culture and society. I'm merely talking about our personal expectations for it. This is crucial to understand because Simeon's and our relationship to God motivates our desires and our expectations. These desires properly aligned will in turn reflect God's will on earth. So if I am walking with the Lord, if I'm aligned with God, the things that I desire to see happen will be the things that He desires to see happen in my life, in the life of my family, in New Life Fellowship. It doesn't mean everything goes perfectly, but it does mean that I want to see what God wants to see done. Right? That's the motivation. Well, the result of godly character is a person of godly calibration. That's the second thing in our notes, a person of godly calibration. Luke continued that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. So Simeon's godly character influenced his desires such that they aligned with those of God Himself. He would have desired God's glory on earth. He would have understood God's promises to His chosen people. He would have greatly looked forward then to both of those things being accomplished, even dare he wish in his lifetime. Well, Luke tells us that he looked forward to the consolation of Israel. This speaks to lifting of another spirit. It's comfort. He was looking forward to the lifting of a whole nation's spirits. A nation that perhaps during this point in time was pushed down by other cultures, oppressed in some cases. He looked forward to the Messiah, one who would come, who would bring truth and hope and revelation to these people. Simeon's desires aligned with God's desires. Thing is, if we don't possess godly character, we won't want what God wants. Many of you have learned over time that friendships influence us. There's no way around it. Maybe you've had a friend and you hung around with them. They were a good influence and impacted you in a positive way. Perhaps you had bad friends that were a bad influence. Perhaps you were a bad influence at some point. Like all of us were, I'm sure, at some point. The thing I've noticed about friends who I spend a lot of time with is they begin to rub off on me in ways that I don't even, like, mean to. I'll notice that I laugh like a friend. I'll hear it, I'll go, that's how so-and-so laughs. I'll notice that I'll pick up some of the things that they think are neat. I've gotten into hobbies because a friend was into a hobby, and I picked up an interest in that thing because of a friendship. If enough time is spent, we will begin to think and talk and act like they do in a lot of different ways. A question then, have we spent enough time with God in both His Word and in prayer to be able to accurately understand what He wants? Have we picked up from our time with the Lord things that are true about Him? Have we picked up the things that interest him, that are important to him? Are we God-aligned from spending time with God? Do our patterns of thought, word, and deed reflect his? Simeon's mirrored those of God, namely the fulfillment of his promises to his people. See, if we're not aligned with God in character, we will not be aligned with God in craving. We won't desire what he desires. Do we long for God to be glorified here on this earth? I know we desire justice and an end to corruption in our society. But does our desire for the revelation of God through us in a dark world trump even some of those things? And I know that's kind of a piercing question, because you feel, well, what is it, either or? Well, no, not necessarily, but we've got to have our priorities right. I want truth to be known. I want no corruption. I want things dealt with. I want truth to come out, but I don't want that more than I want God to be glorified. I want those things because I think they would glorify God. But if God isn't part of that picture, then our priorities are off. I want God to be glorified. And I believe he will be, regardless of whether I want him to or not, or whether anybody else does. But I would like to be aligned with him. I would like to agree with him. I would like to want the things that he wants and hate the things that he hates. Well, this leads us finally to being a person of godly company. Luke continued, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. That is Simeon. In this case, godly company is God himself. We read that the Holy Spirit was upon him. But you might say, Jesus Christ hasn't grown up yet. He's just a baby. He hasn't died on the cross. The Holy Spirit hasn't been given yet. How can this be? Well, Scripture records others who had the Holy Spirit before Pentecost. We read that the Holy Spirit helped Joshua, many of the judges of Israel, King Saul and David and the prophets. We should be quick to note, however, that the preposition is upon, not indwell. This is true of our Old Testament examples as well. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit didn't happen until Pentecost, until after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What does this tell us about Simeon? Certainly not that he was perfect. Look at David. But Simeon was one through whom God sought to do something very special. Does attest to the fact that the trajectory of his life was one that was honoring to God. Let's examine Simeon's situation then. It could be said that Simeon was God-aligned. He is not going to do anything contrary to God's will, especially if the Holy Spirit is resting on him here. But even before the time when the Spirit rested on him, we are led to believe that Simeon truly was a godly man who feared and loved the Lord. It could be said that he was God-informed. In our verses we read, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit to the temple. Spirit was on him. Spirit led him to the temple that day at that time. Could be said that his experience also was God-empowered. The power of the fulfillment of his hopes was completely out of his hands. Simeon couldn't determine when Jesus was going to be born. He couldn't even determine when he was going to show up at the temple. Didn't know who he was till that moment. Sure, he was the man he should be, but all the glory goes to God for accomplishing this in his life. See, the Holy Spirit's direction is key. And he's not just resting upon us, he is indwelling us if we are a believer in Jesus Christ. This doesn't mean that we'll have the same experience of the Spirit that Simeon had, that is, a direct revelation of what specific events will transpire before you die. We don't necessarily expect that. But we do have the opportunity to be led by him if we maintain a relationship with God. Now, if I want things to go well in my home, that is with my wife, I maintain a close relationship with her. if I want to hear from her, if I want to reap the benefits of companionship in the marriage relationship, it must be such that we're on speaking terms, right? If we're not talking to one another, there's no peace in the home. I can't expect that I'm going to hear from her, at least in positive tones, right? It could be the icy cold of silence, or it could be perhaps anger or frustration at something that I've done wrong, but it's not going to be going well if I am not living in unity and peace with her. Some of us have the same distance in our relationship with God because we've chosen to be disobedient. We've grieved and we've quenched the Spirit in our lives. It's not that he isn't there, we've just silenced him because we're not being obedient, we're not listening. Should we want to be people of godly company, we must seek to abide with Christ through an obedient life. At times we may sense a relational distance that can make us panic, but we have to ask the question, have we lived a life that is welcoming to the work of God in us? What a sad thing, what a tragic thing to only come to God in times of desperation or panic when he wishes us to enjoy fellowship with him all the time. What do you call a friend who only comes to you when they need something? You all have those friends. Your phone rings and you look, you see who it is and like, they want something. And you decide, I don't know if I want to pick that up. Or maybe I want to find out what they want before I agree to anything. Or if they say, hey, what are you doing on Tuesday? I don't know. What do you want to do Tuesday? Because you might be getting roped into something. You ought to be real careful about that. Those aren't the kind of friends that there's joy in seeing them or joy in taking the phone call. We realize they just want something from me. And I don't know if I want to give it, right? Some of us live that way with God, don't we? Everything's smooth sailing. We don't pick up the phone. Uh-oh, career problem, relationship problem, money problem, and we get on the phone. Hey, God, I don't know who ordered this down here, but we got problems, right? I need you to deal with this. And he said, where have you been? I haven't heard from you in a month. Well, that's not what he wants for us. See, the focus and trajectory of our life, of the entirety of our life, should be God-directed. He's the company we should keep, and he was the company that Simeon kept. The hard thing is that we get listening to other voices in life, and we get distracted. Then we come running back to God because we think the sky is falling, when it was his voice we should have been listening to all along. Make it a point to spend time with God through time and his word and prayer. Do this every day if you can. Maintain that relationship with him, and you will be prepared when difficult times come. They won't rock you. We're not saying they're going to be fun. We're not saying that they won't hurt, but you will have a God who you're connected to, who loves you, who will walk through it with you. Let other voices take a secondary role to his and see how your year plays out. What if in 2022 we said we are going to keep the lines of communication open with God? We are going to read his word. We are going to pray. We are going to walk closely with him. Well, what we've been getting at this morning is that when we are the people we should be before God, we will have the hopes and expectations aligned with his will and will in turn experience their fulfillment. We can't not, right? So a God-aligned hope leads to an undeniable fulfillment, or a God-aligned hope leads to a God-empowered fulfillment. Some questions as we close. Are our lives God-aligned? Has God challenged you personally this last year on something? Are there areas of your life that need to be brought into submission, into alignment with him? Or there's things that you kind of tuck away over here. It's kind of your business, nobody else's, not even God's. Perhaps it's a sin issue that you like and you don't want to give up. Perhaps it's some kind of independence from God that he doesn't need to know about that. We don't need to involve that in our relationship, but you've compartmentalized it and you've put it off to the side, and it's an area that he would like to shine some light on and deal with. with you, but you've said no. Perhaps there are things that draw your attention, things you desire, things even that you pursue that are not, or that cannot be said to be from Him, can't be said to honor Him, and you need to have an alignment done in your life, in your heart, in your mind. You need to invite the Holy Spirit to come in and do some work, because you realize, I'm not God aligned. I can't say that the things that really captivate me and interest me and drive me are things that would be pleasing to God at all. Next, are our hopes God-informed? Maybe our hopes are self-focused. Could be that they're others-focused. How about God-focused? What might our desires look like if our lives were completely devoted to God? What might change? So it's like, I don't know, I've never been God-devoted before. Well, it's a great year for it. We've been challenged the last couple years in our country, especially. I've had hopes that things would change. I've had hopes that there would be relief, and my hopes have been dashed time and time again. Time for a new source of hope. Time for a God-informed source of hope. What would 2022 look like for us, for our families, for New Life Fellowship, if we were sold out to Him having His way with us? And we could say, all right, God, what do you want me, what should I be looking to in 2022? What hopes would you have me have? What expectations would you have me have? What do I need to do for you? How can I honor you this year? Well, lastly, are our expectations God-empowered? Some people make goals with a great deal of hubris and arrogance, thinking that they can accomplish whatever they cook up in their minds to do. Perhaps you've done this. I've started years with goal lists with things that I thought I wanted to do that I could do. And like 2 weeks in, we're like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. Clearly not. Didn't really involve God in the planning there. But if what we desire is God-aligned and God-informed, then we can expect a God-empowered fulfillment. You see, when it's God who informs your dreams, your desires, and your expectations, we will be a fulfilled, not a frustrated people. See, ultimately, it's all about God. It is with Him we are aligned. It is by Him we are informed. And it is through Him we are empowered to experience the unfolding of His will in our lives. Now, in having said this to you, I don't know that we can expect that all of our God-informed hopes would necessarily happen in the next year. But if we desire the things that God desires, He can't help but have those things happen if it is His will. And so what I'm encouraging you to do here at the beginning of 2022 is seek God's will for your life. How do we do that? We know His word. We pray. We ask Him to deal with things in us. We invite the Holy Spirit in to do His work in our heart and mind. We say, God, what do you want us to be thinking about this year? What are some things that I could accomplish in this next year that would please you? What are some things you want to teach me? What are some things that you want me to do in the life of my family that would honor you this year? How about, what are some things you would want me to do in the life of my church that would honor you this year, that would encourage others? All good questions to ask. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God who is not distant, but who desires to have a relationship with us, and that through that relationship, you want us to experience you. You want us to experience the fulfillment of your will and good things in life. But God, we have to recognize that we've got to be aligned with you first. And so God, I ask that you would draw our hearts to you, that you would make us a people of prayer, that you would make us a people who love your word, who love to interact with you and learn from you. God, we pray that as we think about what this year might hold, that not far from those thoughts or those discussions would be your honor and your glory and what you would want done in our lives. We pray these things in your name. Amen.